It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 45 degrees under partially sunny skies. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has darted and tagged a brown bear frequenting the end of the Sitka Road system in the hopes of learning whether it's the same animal that killed and ate a dog in the area last week. Fish and Game biologist Phil Mooney tranquilized the bear last Friday evening on the beach in Stargavin Bay. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It was about 9 in the evening, and Mooney says a crowd had parked on the Stargavin Bridge to watch the bear, a young male about 4 years old. Fish and Wildlife troopers and Forest Service law enforcement helped manage people as Mooney got into position. It turns out that all the commotion was a useful distraction.
I'd looked at it twice earlier in the week, but couldn't get close to it. So we set up, and essentially they just kind of stayed back, and I walked out around the corner, and the bear was feeding, and I was able to kind of finally sneak around it to the point I could sit down, and my scent was blowing out towards the bay. And really what happened is that there was enough noise on the bridge. It was, even though it's that's probably a good quarter to three quarters of a mile away, it was kind of irritated with somebody was playing a boombox, and you could hear the bass thumping, and it just kind of walked away from that right into me, and I darted it.
Mooney says it was a textbook shot. The dart plunged 4 cc's of tranquilizer into the bear. It took about 10 minutes to work.
The dart hit it in the top of the shoulder, and it didn't even really acknowledge it. I didn't try to pull it out or anything, and I just held my position, and it walked right by me, and started to graze again, and maybe walked 30 meters and tipped over.
Mooney installed a $4,000 collar on the bear and attached a red tag to its ear. The collar uses global positioning technology to record the bear's location 3 times an hour until it drops off on August 20th, 2015. Mooney and the law enforcement officers also measured the bear and took a tooth. The collar also has a VHF transmitter that allows Mooney to locate the bear in real time. So far, the animal has remained in the Stargavin area, sometimes crossing the creek and going up the southern end of the valley. Mooney says the bear is about the same age as an animal darted and relocated to Kruzoff Island 2 years ago in October. Data from that collar shattered conventional wisdom about the range of bears.
And he's the one that went to Pelican and crossed back and forth between Chichikov and Baranof 7 times in a year. Well, not even a year, in 7 months. So, classic example, doesn't match much of the existing bear data work that we've got on Baranof, especially from the north end to the south end. And so that was kind of an eye-opener that, and it also proved what we had already suspected, is that we do get interchange between Baranof and Chichikov at times. And a male in particular has not found and established a home range yet, so he's going to move around.
Mooney thinks it likely that the Stargavin bear grew up in the valley and could be displaced if a larger sow with cubs decides to take up residence in the tide flats. So it will be interesting to see where it winds up if it survives the summer. Since a bear killed and ate a dog nearby on May 12th, residents have become edgier. A resident fired 3 rounds from a handgun at the culprit in his driveway that same evening. Earlier in the month, a bear was shot and killed on Granite Creek Road. Mooney doesn't deny that any individual bear might exhibit behaviors outside of the norm for interaction with humans and dogs, but more often than not, he thinks Sitka's bears are not aggressive.
We really don't see a whole lot of that behavior from the bears around here. They're, like I say, I think a bulk of them have been raised in this area, and they're pretty familiar with people and the noise of people and the actions of people, and that's why they're so good at targeting our garbage, too. They know the drill.
The bear Mooney tagged over the weekend did not show any signs of gunshot wounds. We may not know exactly where this bear is going until the collar drops off next summer and Mooney can retrieve the data. It took about 4 hours for the tranquilizer to wear off. Mooney waited with the bear until 2:45 a.m. when it was back on its feet. He considers it a teaching moment.
You know, while he's coming out of the drug, I essentially gave him verbal hazing. I wanted him to hear the same things he's going to hear when he's fully awake, and that's like the hey bear, get out of here bear, and shine the light at him. And so he comes to associate that with a not particularly a good time of being captured and collared.
As strange as it sounds, Mooney says it's ultimately better to keep these bears who know us around town. He's a known quantity. His behavior's a known quantity, he says. If we kill him off, you'll have a newbie come in. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A measure before Sea Alaska shareholders could change the way board elections are held. It might cause big leadership changes at the regional native corporation. The measure comes as 13 shareholders compete for 4 board seats in Sea Alaska's annual election. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from Juneau.
The measure is a resolution proposing limits to what's called discretionary voting. That's an option on Sea Alaska's proxy ballot, which lists candidates for the board of directors. When shareholders check a box, they give the board the power to cast their ballots for whomever they see fit. And the board votes for its slate of incumbents seeking re-election.
It's an unfair document because of the discretionary voting, and that is what has kept all our directors in all these years.
Mick Beasley is a Juneau Carver who's campaigned against discretionary voting. He's also one of this year's 6 independent board candidates. He authored the resolution that would largely eliminate discretionary voting. Without it, shareholders would pick and choose from the full list of candidates, including incumbents and their challengers.
If this resolution passes and we amend our bylaws, it'll make it equal voting rights for all shareholders.
They would wipe out what Sea Alaska believes would otherwise be a valid vote.
Nicole Hollingstad is Sea Alaska's communications vice president as well as corporate secretary. She and the board oppose Beasley's measure.
Those shareholders understand exactly what discretionary voting means, are offering their shares in support of the corporation, and that to remove that discretionary voting option would remove a choice that at least a quarter of our shareholders select on a regular basis.
The resolution does not completely eliminate discretionary voting. Beasley says it would be allowed when an independent group challenges the board and issues its own ballot.
If there are 2 slates, 2 proxies, then discretionary voting is fair game. When there is only 1 proxy, and that's Sea Alaska putting the proxy out, they cannot use discretionary voting unless there's another proxy that comes out.
Shareholders are rarely faced with 2 slates and proxies, but this year they are. A group calling itself 4 Shareholders for Sea Alaska has sent out its own ballot and posted it online. Margaret Nelson, Carlton Smith, Ross Soboloff, and Karen Togg say their combined business experience could make Sea Alaska profitable after several years of operational losses. The corporate ballot lists Sidney Edenshaw, Edward Thomas, and Rosita Wuerl. Spokeswoman Hollingstad says the 3 bring knowledge and history to Sea Alaska management.
The stability of any corporation's board is something that is reviewed regularly by business partners, financial institutions, and so board stability is something that is of value outside of our shareholders.
Longtime board member Byron Mallott is not seeking re-election because he's running for governor. That leaves an open board seat with no incumbent, a rarity for Sea Alaska. 6 independent candidates running outside of his slate are also listed on the corporate ballot. They're Myrna Gardner, Michelle McConkie, Will Micklin, Edward Sarabia Jr., and Ralph Wolf, in addition to Beasley.
Everybody was trying to keep it to 1 or 2 independents this year, but, you know, we're back to 6 or 7 independents. It's just the nature of our shareholders.
The 4 top vote-getters will win 3-year terms on the 13-member board. Results will be announced at Sea Alaska's annual meeting June 28th in Seattle. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Links to information about all 13 board candidates is posted with this report on our website. And in Ketchikan, the City Council has voted not to put a citywide smoking ban on the ballot this fall. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
The debate was between freedom of choice and public health. Choice won. The City Council heard from 4 business owners or managers, all opposed to the idea of a citywide smoking ban. 2 other citizens spoke in favor of the idea. Donna Luther says that everyone knows smoking isn't healthy, but it's a legal choice business owners and their patrons can make for themselves. She notes that the trend towards smoke-free is gaining momentum without government intervention. The city council last considered and rejected a smoking ban in 2004.
But since that time, 15 additional eating and or drinking places have gone smoke-free. So that would make a total of 31 hospitality businesses that are currently smoke-free by their own choice, leaving approximately 12 smoking hospitality businesses in our community, all of which you must be 21 years old to enter.
Jack Duckworth had a different opinion on the issue. He says government regulations that save lives are a good idea, and 49,000 Americans die each year from secondhand smoke.
And the problem with it is not like if I walk into a bar where there's smoke and I'm going to drop dead. I'm going to drop dead in 20 years. So when people are young, they don't see what's coming down the road. They go because their girlfriend goes. They go because they like to dance. And then they pay that price in the long run.
During council discussion of the issue, Councilmember Marty West suggested that the city let voters decide. Her suggestion was supported by Councilmember Matt Olson. He says he originally agreed with the bar owners, but changed his mind.
The cost of smoking to our society is more than just my choice. The health cost, the health care cost, the cost on infrastructure is phenomenal.
The rest of the council, though, disagreed. West motioned to place a ballot proposition in front of voters in October failed, with only West and Olson voting in favor. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. As always, you can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. Stay tuned for NPR's Morning Edition. Good morning.